Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
The season of Lent, though, here we are on the first Sunday of Lent, and it's extremely countercultural because through practices such as prayer and fasting and reading and meditating on God's holy word, we are reminded that we are not self-sufficient little gods, but rather we are finite and dependent creatures. However, what often happens during Lent is Lent completely causes us to navel gaze. And it becomes this deceptive season which stokes the flames of self-improvement and self-righteousness as opposed to what Lent is intended to do, and that is to make us aware of our desperate need for Jesus Christ. This is why, and that's why we do the Decalogue at the beginning of the service. It's not like the checklist of all the wonderful things you did this week, but it's to actually expose our unbelief and to expose who we are before the law. But this is one of the reasons why the gospel reading, also for the first Sunday of Lent, is always Jesus in the wilderness, where he did not eat for 40 days, and at the end of his time in the wilderness, the devil tempts Jesus with three very specific temptations, and they all revolve around specific things. Jesus is tempted with his appetite, he is tempted with worship, and then he is tempted with his status. And these three temptations, they're actually all fruit from the same root. Notice, the devil begins every temptation with the conjunction, if. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to turn. If you will only worship me, not Yahweh, then all of this will be yours. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off the temple. Notice, the root of all of these temptations is not behavior, but it's belief. Martin Luther, in his preface to the Romans, said, before good or bad works happen, there has to be present in the heart either faith or unbelief. Unbelief is the root, sap, and chief power of all sin, end quote. When thinking about temptation, the truth is that temptation is nothing more than a false promise. And when we give in to temptation, we are actually, what's happening there is we're believing a lie. In that moment that we're being tempted to do, say, or believe something, there's an issue far more sinister at work than simply behavior. It's called unbelief. Unbelief. And this is my first point. Temptation is never about behavior. Rather, temptation is about who do you believe. Did God really say? I mean, wherever you hear that, you are hearing the voice of the devil himself. Every temptation to sin, all the way back to Eden, has its roots in the temptation to disbelieve what God has said. I love how the great reformer John Calvin put it. Christians are in perpetual conflict with their own unbelief. Christianity, contrary to probably what you have heard, Christianity is a religion that is based on belief over and above action. This is why it's called orthodoxy, right belief, as opposed to orthopraxy, right practice. As Christians, we believe our actions flow forth from our belief, not our actions define our belief. Hence, in John chapter 6, when posed with the question, what is the will of God? And that's a question everybody asks. What's the will of God? Jesus' response is not a checklist of really pious things to do, but rather Jesus simply declares that if you want to do the will of God, believe in me. Believe in Jesus, the one whom God has sent. You see, our failure to lay aside sin, and I'm talking to me here, our failure to lay aside sin is the direct result of our refusal to believe the gospel. That all of the resource, all of our provision, all that we ultimately need to stand before God is already ours, has been already given to us in Jesus Christ. Luther went on to say in that preface, to be convinced in our hearts that we have the forgiveness of sins and peace with God by grace alone is the hardest thing for a human. Believe me, to believe that God's grace alone is sufficient is so much harder than just giving up soda and chocolate. Especially as New Yorkers, because as New Yorkers, we're all seasoned do-it-yourselfers. I mean, this is why we've made it here. We make it here because we are pull-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps kind of people. Suck it up. This is the complete antithesis of the gospel. And one person said, man, I'm just hanging on. And I was like, let go. You know? I know for me, even as a pastor, it's much easier to make a list to live by and give that to somebody who's having a problem than to just share the gospel. It's much easier to make a list to live by and fool myself of spiritual progress, whatever that is, than to actually rest in the provision of Christ alone. Unlike Jesus in the wilderness, I would much rather take matters into my own hands. This is my second point. Unbelief in the gospel is ultimately slavery. Unbelief in the gospel is ultimately to remain in the wilderness, especially the wilderness of self, because there you are left on your own to satisfy your appetites. There you are left on your own to worship and save yourself. There you are left on your own to ultimately set yourself free. And the testimony of fads and false religions that come and go is, good luck with that. The great American author and philosopher Walker Percy once described humanity as waiting for news. The gospel is that good news. The gospel is that good news, especially for Lent, that you no longer need to save yourself. You no longer need to defend yourself. You no longer need to justify yourself or free yourself. Because that ultimate verdict on your life because of Jesus, who, as we say in our liturgy, was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. The verdict over your life because of Jesus is always A plus, never F. That is the good news of our reading today. Not that Jesus has modeled three new disciplines for you to follow, you know, to defeat the devil. Three new spiritual disciplines for you to engage in, to take on the devil, because the truth is before the devil, you and I on our own are toast. As a matter of fact, before the devil, we would just walk to his side. I mean, that sort of 10 steps or latest fad to further, better, and more spiritual living ultimately just burns us out. It kills us. Because ultimately what we need and ultimately what we long for most is a substitute. What we long for most is a champion. I guarantee you what keeps you up in the middle of the night is not wondering about your purpose. What keeps you up at night is thinking about all the times you should have done this instead of that. If only I would have done this, then this would have happened. You know, that's what runs through my mind every time I'm in the shower. If only I would have done this, then this would have been different. What we need is a substitute. What we need is a champion who has defeated and conquered temptation, sin, death, and the devil for me, and still loves me and forgives me despite my unbelief and failure to resist it. O Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And this is my third point. What we need and long for most has come and has been given to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Hence, real freedom in the midst of temptation, real freedom in the wilderness of life. That only happens when the resources of the gospel, God's unconditional love, God's unmerited grace, God's real forgiveness breaks into our do-it-yourself lives and smashes any sense of need to secure for myself anything beyond what Christ has already secured for me. Let me close with this. Many of you have asked, what should you give up or take on during the season of Lent? I don't know. But what I will tell you this, during the season of Lent, of chief importance, remember whose you are. Remember that you are baptized. Remember that you are a child of God in the Son of God. And while you yourself are no match for the devil and his schemes, he has been defeated by the one, Jesus Christ the righteous, in whom your life is hidden. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.